I just want to hit people like hard. You know, I want to get my assignment done, obviously, but you know, first and foremost, I want to hit somebody. But letting the other team know where we're going to run the ball and making you try to stop us. I think that's what's fun about it.
You went shirtless for the combine, which you don't see from a lot of offensive linemen.
Well, everybody else was doing it. I was like, maybe shed the shirt. Because, you know, everybody takes their pants off for aerodynamics or whatever they want to do. That's what I did. And apparently it worked because that one was a little bit faster than my first one. So,
hey, the proof is in the pudding, man.
That's exactly right.
I understand that you've had squirrel before. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. It tastes like squirrel. I mean, I don't know how to explain it to you.
I would imagine a nutty flavor.
Now, some squirrels, like down south Georgia, they'll taste a little bit more nutty. If you put enough seasoning on it, you can make it taste like whatever you want it to taste like.
Welcome into the lounge. We are still getting to know these rookies, and this is kind of one of the more fun parts of the year, man. You get like this whole delivery of gifts, and you just start to learn about these guys, and it's just really fun. So one player that we wanted to learn more about is Ben Cleveland, the Ravens' third-round pick, who you said was your favorite draft pick, Garrett.
Yeah, that was my favorite pick, for sure.
Yeah, so we had to bring him in.
Yeah, and like, the thing about the draft is you spend 90% of your time leading up to it talking about the first round. You know, maybe you do a couple things of like who could be some day two wide receivers. You know, everyone talks about that.
Right.
You know, but you don't spend too much time talking about round three guards and day three options. And like you're generally spending all your time talking about who's at the top. And then we find out, just a little behind the scenes, we find out who the Ravens are picking about 2 minutes before it gets announced on TV. And so then you got to learn about this guy, and sometimes you have a little bit of knowledge, but sometimes you don't. And so it is fun over the course of the next several days to just like read about these guys, learn about them, get to meet them, get to do have conversations with them. And the Ravens have, you know, they always select interesting players, and I think this guy Ben Cleveland's at the top of that list.
Yeah. So with that said, let's jump right into our interview with Ravens rookie Ben Cleveland. All right, Ben, well, thank you for joining us. I want to start here. Take us into Toccoa, Georgia, your hometown, where I assume you were for the draft. What was the scene like there for the draft?
You know, we actually were in Toccoa. I got a buddy who's got a farm in Milledgeville, kind of in the middle of Georgia. So we went out there, and, you know, it was basically had a lot more room than we would have had at my house. You know, we went out there and spoke to Pig, and just, you know, my family, my fiance's family, just out there for draft night. So it was a little bit different scene than we'd have had in Toccoa. But, you know, it was, I'm sure the town of Toccoa was still pretty happy throughout the whole thing.
So you smoked a pig. How big a pig are we talking here?
I think it was like 150 pounds, something like that.
Woo! That's my kind of meal right there. Get some swine.
It was pretty good.
That's awesome.
So what were your emotions, Ben, just when the Ravens called you? You know, a lot of guys get emotional. Some guys shed some tears. What were you like?
Yeah, honestly, it was, you know, it was kind of towards the end of the night. So I was kind of starting to get a little discouraged. You know, I kind of had a little bit higher hopes for myself than that. So, you know, I was kind of about ready to just turn the TV off and go to bed because, you know, I didn't think that my name was going to get called till Saturday morning. So, you know, it was definitely a relief whenever, you know, they called me to give me the news. But it was, you know, I was full of emotions, you know, a lot of just, you know, definitely everything was happy and positive. But, you know, just the mindset of, you know, what's about to happen, what am I about to go through from here on out? You know, that was just kind of everything like that just going through your head at one time, you know, moving to a new city, things like that. Just, you know, there's a lot of different what ifs, you know, that kind of came through right in the moment. But, you know, a lot of that's already been kind of settled down. And, you know, it's a lot of exciting emotions now, just ready to get out there.
So, Ben, we saw video of the moment from your perspective of when you got drafted. It sounded like you didn't even tell the people you were with that you got the call. Tell me about this.
So like I said, you know, I was about ready, you know, to tell everybody to go to bed. So, you know, I've done walked away on the other side of my buddy's house to get something to drink. And, you know, they called me and I was like, well, I don't want them. I'd rather them have, you know, all the excitement and surprise whenever it comes on TV. So I just went back like nothing happened and just let them kind of figure it out on their own.
That's awesome. So then your name comes across the screen, and then does everyone in the place just kind of erupt and just a lot of excitement and emotion?
I think it took everybody a second to kind of figure it out. once they started saying offensive lineman from Georgia, I think it kind of started to click in everybody's head, I think everybody was more surprised than anything. I was just sitting by there grinning because I already knew.
That's awesome. What did you think of, Jacoby Jones made the announcement for you, right? So, what did you think? He kind of stole the show a little bit. He was hamming it up with the Cleveland fans there, letting them know he'd already got a ring. They were booing him. What'd you think of his announcement?
I actually thought it was pretty cool. It was pretty funny whenever he goes to talk about he's the one with the ring, so they can't really talk much. I definitely think it was one of the top five announcements of the night.
For sure.
Hey, yeah, I was wondering, you know, with the last name of Cleveland, you know, were you a Browns fan growing up? I feel like if there were, like, you know, the Minks out there, I would definitely be a fan, you know?
No, I never. You know, really and truly, it's like I've said this. I've never really, even growing up, I was never really a football fan, never really watched football. I mean, I played football, but, you know, we were never going to turn it on and watch it on Saturdays and Sundays. Just because, you know, growing up, weekends were always our free time. And so that's, you know, football season during hunting season. So that's what we were doing. So we never really had a chance to, you know, sit down and get into football. So, I definitely wouldn't say that I was a Cleveland Browns fan growing up.
It's going to be pretty cool, though, to see you kicking Cleveland Browns' butt with Cleveland on your jersey.
Yeah.
I understand, yeah, like, you were a baseball family growing up, right? Is that right?
Pretty much. My brother actually played at Georgia Southern down here. My dad never played football. He always played baseball, so... You know, that was kind of what we focused on growing up. But, you know, whenever you're this much bigger than everybody, baseball's kind of not an option.
Did you basically have the coaches at school saying, all right, man, we got to get you on the football field. Like, come on over here. This baseball stuff is done.
No, I played baseball throughout high school. And, I mean, just like any kid, I mean, I started playing football when I was 5 or 6 years old, rec department. So, I mean, it was one of those things where I always thought I was going to like baseball a lot more until I was like, okay, I'm a little bit better at this football thing than I am at this baseball thing. Which, I mean, granted, like, I was no scrub in baseball. I mean, I could have probably went and played any Division I school in baseball. But, you know, it was like, well, my career can be taken up here if I'm able to stick to football. So I kind of, right, you know, put my emphasis on that, played baseball to stay in shape and give me something to do in the spring. So, you know, I don't even know if I could swing a baseball bat anymore, honestly.
Well, how many home runs did you hit in high school? I got to believe when you came to the plate, the outfield was like, all right, step back. Give this guy a step here.
I read he was stealing bases.
Oh, let's see. Home run. See, I was one of those people. I was either going to hit a home run or I was going to strike out. Like, there was no
You're the Chris Davis of baseball.
Basically. But no, I think my junior year, the last year I played, I had like 17 or 18.
Wow.
But it was funny because I was actually tied for most home runs in the state. And the kid that I was tied with went to a private school and he had 143. Yeah. You can tell that I think about this because I know the exact numbers. because it still bothers me. But he had 143 at-bats and 17 home runs, and I had 81 at-bats and 17 home runs. So if I would have had 140 at-bats, then, you know, I would have probably had a few more. But
yeah, we can do the math on that. You know, we know where the average is.
Yeah.
So when did you make the decision that football was going to be it for you?
You know, I never really had any baseball offers or anything like that. But, you know, I mean, I started getting recruited whenever I was a freshman. So it was very obvious that football was going to be the route that was going to get my college, my education paid for. So, you know, it was no deciding, no questioning that. It was really just the thought of, do I want to play baseball college too, or do I just want to play football? So,
Right. Well, I think one thing that's really interesting about you is obviously you get a lot of attention for your sheer size. I mean, 6'6", 357. At least that's what the Ravens list. Are you 357? That's what the Ravens list you at, but what'd you weigh in at Pro Day?
I was like 343 at Pro Day.
Okay. All right. We're just making you even bigger. I love it. We're adding to the tail.
That's fine.
But I think what's interesting is, like, yeah, you're huge, but your athleticism is kind of like something that doesn't, I feel like, get as much attention. Like, coming out of your Pro Day, like, it was your 40-yard dash that, like, you know, was kind of creating a lot of buzz. You ran at what, 5.01? I saw some 4.85 on officials.
Yeah, I think it was anywhere from like 4.85 to like 5.01, 5.02, something like that.
Wow.
Right. That, I mean, that's faster than Garrett. That's definitely faster than Garrett. I mean, plus I saw you went shirtless for the combine, which you don't see from a lot of offensive linemen.
Well, everybody else was doing it. I was like, maybe shed the shirt. Because, you know, everybody takes their pants off for aerodynamics or whatever they want to do. So I was like, well, if I take my shirt off, maybe that'll give me a little bit more aerodynamic or whatever you want to call it. So that's what I did. And apparently it worked, because that one was a little bit faster than my first one. So,
hey, the proof is in the pudding, man.
That's exactly right.
How much do you really feel like, you know, that athleticism helps you on the football field? You know, obviously you can overwhelm people with your size and strength, but that athleticism, how much of a part of that, of your game is that, you know?
Oh, I mean, it's a lot, especially, you know, going to the next level in the NFL, it's going to make life, you know, so much easier with the amount of athleticism and things like that, just because, you know, I could usually get away with, you know, people in a lower conference than us just blowing them off the ball with just pure strength. But then you get against people who, you know, same talent-wise as you are, you know, that athleticism, that mobility, and that leverage, that's how you win those reps. So, you know, you can't just always just walk in there and just put your muscles on somebody. You know, sometimes you got to outplay them in your head and with your feet a little bit.
So, Ben, I've been watching your highlights over the past couple of days since the Ravens drafted you, and you're a bulldozer out there. I mean, you're a road grader. You paved the way for the guys behind you. Can you talk about your mentality on the field when that ball snapped?
Like, I just want to hit people, like, hard. Like, I want to get my assignment done, obviously, but, you know, first and foremost, I want to hit somebody. So, you know, our scheme at Georgia was a lot of inside zone stuff. So that was perfect for what I wanted to do. You know, it wasn't a lot of running around people and things like that. It was a bunch of downhill, just, you know, go put your face on somebody and move them. So that's, you know, that was in my wheelhouse. That's what I like to do. And, you know, that's what I've been able to do.
Yeah. Along those lines.
Well, and Ravens, that's what the Ravens do.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, this is run heavy, best rushing offense in the NFL. NFL, over the past 2 years, I mean, it's the best rushing offense the NFL has ever seen.
Yeah.
I got to believe, as an offensive lineman, especially an offensive lineman that plays the way like you do, I mean, are you foaming at the mouth thinking about stepping into this offense?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like, I mean, I love, you know, run teams. Like, that's just – you know, that's what we were made on the SEC, and that's what I've gotten comfortable with. Like, I'm comfortable – you know, having the quarterback say, hey, the ball's going in the backside A-gap, I don't care what happens. Like, you're either going to get hit by the running back or we're going to break it out for 20 yards. So, you know, that's what I'm comfortable doing. That's what, you know, I think that's what makes football so much fun. is letting the other team know where we're going to run the ball and making you try to stop us. I think that's what's fun about it. So, it should be interesting to see how that works out.
Well, I saw an interesting thing on Twitter now with your jersey number released, number 66, that, you know, whenever the run comes behind you, we can always say, you know, we're going right down Route 66. Going right down Route 66 right there behind Cleveland.
I haven't even thought about that, but
not bad.
No, it's really not bad. I'm sure they could have come up with something a lot worse.
What are you thinking in terms of, a lot of people are saying that, you know, you could be a day one starter, including myself. I've got you projected in there. Obviously, you got to win the job. But what's kind of your mentality stepping into that competition?
Yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate goal. I mean, that's kind of why I work to get to this point. So, you know, that's what I have in mind for myself as well. You know, my thing right now is just being able to learn the playbook and get everything from a mental standpoint figured out, because, I mean, the physical standpoint is going to be there. You know, that's just who I am. But, you know, going from one style playbook to, you know, the new one that I just got yesterday, actually, you know, it's going to be that's going to be the important part. Just the, you know, mastering that playbook and getting everything down pat and just kind of putting all the college stuff out that's burned in my brain. Cause I mean, terminology and everything's different. A lot of the concepts are the same. But you know, when I hear this and think of this, I got to not be able to think about what I heard in college. So, you know, that just from a mental standpoint, that's going to be, I think that's going to be the difference maker.
So after the Ravens drafted you on Friday night, you know, Coach Harbaugh talked about how Eric DaCosta talked about how Coach Harbaugh wanted you. You know, they were getting nervous in the draft room, and the Harbaugh was almost like, let's trade up, let's go get him. I don't want to lose this guy. And he was a big fan of yours. What did he say to you after getting picked, and did you get a chance to, you know, did you hear that sentiment from him?
Yeah, you know, I definitely, you know, I talked to so many people on the same phone call the other night. So it was hard to kind of decipher emotions and different voices and things like that. But him and I have had a couple of conversations since then. And, I mean, you can still hear it in his voice. So, I mean, it's definitely exciting to know that, you know, I was that high of a priority for them to want to get in there and get in their organization. So, you know, it's going to be awesome. You know, I'm beyond excited about it. He's excited about it. So, you know, I think things are looking pretty good.
Have you talked to any of the Ravens offensive linemen yet?
Bozeman.
Yeah, Bradley Bozeman.
Yeah, so he actually reached out to me, you know, and just told me, like, you know, welcome to the family, things like that. And his wife actually reached out to my fiance, just, you know, telling me, if you ever need, you know, somewhere to eat or something other, just let me know and I'll, you know, point y'all in the right direction. So, you know, he's been the only ones that you know, reached out so far, but you know, I would expect that, you know, everybody in that locker room is going to mend pretty well.
That's great. Well, you got to figure this whole thing out with Tyree Phillips with the nickname. You know, he's Big Country, you're Big Country. I have an idea for you. Okay, I got an idea for you. You go in, you tell Tyree, all right, you can keep Big Country because you know, you're the elder statesman, you got seniority, you can keep Big Country, but I'll be Bigger Country, right? Because you're bigger.
Man, I don't even care who calls me what. I mean, it don't bother me. You can call me, I about said some offensive names, but, you know, you can call me whatever you want. It ain't gonna, I don't care.
All right, so, Ben, tell us what life was like in Toccoa, Georgia. We want to get to know you a little bit more. What population, 8,000? That's small town.
Yeah, it's one of those towns where everybody knows everybody. I mean, you ain't gonna do nothing stupid and get away from it, or get away with it, whatever it might be. So, you know, it was fun growing up, though. I mean, I had a pretty decent group of friends, you know, and a few of those I've probably got 10 people from back home that I still, you know, communicate and talk with on a daily basis. So, you know, it was nice growing up there. I mean, had a lot of good friends growing up throughout high school. I think a lot of diversity among that, just people going their separate ways and, you know, just one taking this career path. And, you know, most people are still, you know, in town working, things like that. That's what people do in Toccoa. You know, that's what most everybody's families did. So that's what their kids are going to do. So, you know, I mean, that town, it was one of the best places I could have been raised. I mean, my support system from, you know, high school to middle school, everything like that was just impeccable. So, you know, that little town is fun. There ain't much there. I mean, it's bigger than most towns, but, you know, it's still it's a little old and outdated. Things are trying to get a little bit they're starting trying to put a little few more new things in there. But, you know, other than that, it's going to be the same old Tacoma one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm small town, too. I remember when we got a McDonald's, right? When I was in middle school, we got a McDonald's. And holy cow, I'll tell you what. Everybody skipped school the next day to go to McDonald's. It was such a big deal. That small town life, man, it's something else.
Dude, I can remember whenever we went from a regular Walmart to a super Walmart. and that was the greatest thing that we had ever seen.
So like what did you do? Like what, you know, hunting? I see you're like an avid hunter.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of what we did growing up. That was kind of our thing. My dad, I think, you know, my dad was taking us in the woods. He took me in the woods before I could walk. Literally, he carried me up a deer stand. So, you know, that was kind of just bred into us. And I mean, not only that, I mean, that was how we provided. You know, neither one of my parents ever had the most outstanding money making jobs. So, you know, trips to the grocery store got expensive. But whenever you don't have to sit there and buy meat, and you can just eat deer meat that's, you know, you've got processed in the freezer, you know, you can save a lot of money doing that. So, you know, that's how we provided for our family. But, you know, the older I've gotten, the more I've realized that, it's still about providing for your family, but it's more about that's, you know, that's kind of your unwind time. That's where, you know, I go and just get away from everything, turn my phone off and just kind of, you know, relax. Don't worry about everything else going on. But, you know, I mean, that goes for anything. Hey, turkey, deer, ducks, it don't matter. It don't matter what it is. Just, you know, being out there in nature and just being at peace with yourself and everything around you, that's kind of where it's got to for me. I mean, obviously, it's still fun, you know, with the harvest and things like that. But, you know, it's definitely, that's my out. That's how I kind of go get away from all the stress of, you know, this life. So.
When you were naming off all those animals, you left out squirrel. I understand that you've had squirrel before. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's weird. It tastes like squirrel. I mean, I don't know how to explain it to you.
I would imagine a nutty flavor.
No, not really. Now some squirrels, like down south, they'll taste, like in South Georgia, they'll taste a little bit more nutty. But I mean, up here, they are like acorns and stuff like that. They're not really as strong as the ones down south. So, you know, most of them up here, it tastes like squirrel. You put enough seasoning on it, you can make it taste like whatever you want it to taste like. But they're very, very tricky animals to cook. They got really fine hairs on them, so it's really hard to, you know, get all the hairs off of them whenever you skin them. So it's very, very tricky to get that one figured out.
I guess in Baltimore, we got to try squirrel with Old Bay on it. That's the next seasoning.
About right.
Can you tell us the squirrel story about, you know, being bored one day, you know, your famous squirrel story?
Yeah, so I literally stayed home from school and, you know, I'm sure you've watched, you know, the Chris Kyle movie where they're like sitting back in the middle of a room and they shoot through a window to like hide the sound or whatever. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm bored. I'm kind of hungry. I was like, let's find a squirrel. So I'm sitting there and I'm looking out our window. In our backyard, we've got a little garden and then we got a row of pine trees. So I seen two squirrels in the pine trees. So I raised the window up and I was like, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. My grandparents are still down there 100 yards away from us asleep. I'm like, I don't want to go out on the porch and shoot this gun and wake everybody up. So I literally laid some pillows down in the floor, got my little 22, and I shot through the screen door on the window in the living room and went out there and got the squirrels. And then I got to looking at the window and I was like, crap, there's two little bullet holes in there. I said, Mom and Daddy ain't gonna be happy about that. So I took the window screen off of that door or off of that window, put it in my bedroom and replaced out the window screens. And
impressive.
You know, I mean, obviously they knew, they didn't care, but so yeah, threw them with some hot grease and made me some frozen biscuits and let them ride.
Let them ride. That is amazing.
All right,
well, Ben, before we let you go, I want to play a little game with you called Who's More Country, okay? Because, you know, I mentioned, I'm a country bumpkin. I'm not anymore. I'm kind of a city slicker now, you know? But I grew up country, okay? All right, so here's the Grant will be the judge on whose answer is more country. Okay,
and I don't think this is going to be too challenging, but go ahead, Ryan. We'll let you fire away.
First question: do you have or did you have any wildlife on your property?
Yes.
What was it?
Let's see. Currently, a deer. We have, let's see, four peacocks.
Ooh.
Some chickens running around. And a couple of guineas.
Oh, all right. I have three chickens.
You had a cat?
I got three chickens. We do have backyard chickens, but I don't have the peacocks and stuff.
Yeah, I'll get... Okay,
Ben's up 1-0. Okay, all right. Have you ever driven a tractor?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
How do you make?
You plow something?
I mean, what kind of tractor? You talking about a big tractor, small tractor, one with a belly mower on it? Like,
I'm talking like a big old John Deere.
You want to go rake hay fields, cut hay? What do you want to do? I mean, we.
All right. Have you ever driven a combine?
No, we don't have combines up here.
All right. I've never done either. But I will say this. So at my high school, they had one day every year. It was called Tractor Day, and everybody could drive their tractors into school and park them in the parking lot, which was pretty cool.
See, we had something similar to that, but it wasn't as much. Like, we had people that drove tractors, but we could bring dirt bikes and four-wheelers and whatever else we wanted to school. So
all right,
people would drive their dirt bikes and their four-wheelers and their tractors to school.
That's pretty cool. All right, last one for you. Where was your prom held? Like, what kind of establishment building we talking?
Oh, ours was held at a North Georgia Technical College. It was you got me beat on this one, I guarantee it.
I'm going fire hall. Fire hall. I got one.
I'll give Mink the prom one. However,
I was gonna give him that one anyway.
But the fact that you almost lose a point for the tractor question, Ryan, because I think Ben's driven every kind of tractor there is. You didn't even know the types of tractors he's driven.
Well, I've driven a tractor, but he does seem to have a bigger tractor arsenal than me, for sure.
That's awesome.
All right, Ben. Thanks so much, man. We really appreciate you coming on. Big expectations for you, man. You're going to be a fan favorite. And I really can't wait to see you, meet you in person and see you on the field.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, Joe.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right, man. Take care. All right. Well, really great stuff from Ben. I think one of my favorite parts is when I jokingly asked him if squirrels have a nutty flavor, and he gave me the full breakdown of northern versus southern squirrels in Georgia. And their taste.
Come on, man.
That was amazing.
Come on, everyone knows the South Georgia squirrels have a little bit more of that nutty acorn flavor.
Yeah. Well, they don't have a lot of acorns in northern Georgia, apparently.
Of course, obviously.
So there you go. It makes a whole lot of sense.
The
squirrels in northern Georgia are probably so big, they're eating like lambs and stuff.
I'll tell you what. This guy is great. This guy is fantastic. That's one of my favorite interviews we've done in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fun, man. He is very country. I like it, man. He just, you know, he kind of reminds me of Marshall Yanda a little bit. You know, I mean, he's just like, Marshall was a farm boy from Iowa. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of had a funny sense of humor, but like, you know, kind of an easygoing guy, just very unassuming, he's a typical offensive lineman, right? I mean, that's just kind of what it is. So I really like Ben. I think he's going to be a good player, and I think he's going to be somebody that fans and media members really like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that obviously we're going to have plenty of time to talk about how he's going to fit, but I think he's – if I'm setting the starting offensive line right now, I put him in there. And you mentioned that during the interview. He's got to earn it. He's got to win the job, but he just seems like the perfect fit on this O-line. So just awesome interview. I'm excited to get to know him a little bit more. So as always, you guys can email us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. We've got some good emails after the draft, and I want to go ahead and read this one. This one comes to us from Riley Runberg. Says the subject line is first-time emailer, long-time listener. We got a first-time, long-time. So Riley says, big fan of both you guys. I've listened to every single episode. It's his favorite thing to do while working. I love getting your side of how things are going and what the Ravens will do from day to day. It also helps him gives him some ammunition on debates with friends. So we're happy to help out with that. He's lived in Canada his whole life. So, you know, it's got to work to stay informed when you're living away from the city. But he has made it to two games, including the one in 2019 where the Ravens smoked the Patriots in Brady's last game in Baltimore. So that's a good one. Anyway, a question here. He's got a couple of them, but one of them was about signing a veteran offensive tackle, which the Ravens have done. They've added Alejandro Villanueva, who's expected to play right tackle. So if we're just going down the line real quick, I think the likely scenario in my mind right now, Stanley at left, Cleveland at left guard, then center would be Bozeman sliding from left guard to center, right guard, Kevin Zeitler, and then right tackle, Villanueva. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So that's that. But a question here, the second question he has is about the receivers. Who gets more receiving yards in your mind, Rashad Bateman or Hollywood Brown?
I'm going to go with Hollywood. You know, I think that Hollywood obviously has the advantage of going into year three of his career, and that makes a big difference. You know, he and Lamar have the chemistry, the relationship, the friendship that they have. You know, and he was the Ravens' leading receiver last year. He's somebody that obviously Lamar has a lot of trust in, and I only think that Hollywood's getting better as a player. I know that the expectations for him last year were sky high. You know, we all were watching the offseason training videos, and the guy looked impeccable. I mean, just added a lot of muscle, and I think that kind of set the bar perhaps even a little too high. You know, all of us just watching the offseason workout videos. And Hollywood's never backed down from expectations either. I mean, he was saying, I'm going to have a breakout year. And he did. You know, he took a step forward. It wasn't quite the 1,000-yard year that we were all talking about. But I don't think that that kind of year is out of the question still for Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I think he could be a 1,000-yard receiver, particularly if the Ravens do end up throwing the ball more, which I think they will. I think they're going to throw the ball more this year than they did last. And I also still think that they'll lead the NFL in rushing attempts.
Yeah,
both can happen because they led the NFL by a wide margin. So, I think Hollywood. But if I were to predict Rashad Bateman's final stat line as a rookie, here we go.
The early projection.
I'm going to go, without ever having seen this guy on the field with my own two eyes,
the pre-rookie minicamp projection. I love it. Go ahead.
Yeah, this carries a lot of weight. I'm going to go with about 600 for Bateman. I'm going to go 600, six touchdowns.
Ooh, that's a good touchdown number.
That'd be a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah. That's a lot of touchdowns. 600, that feels about right. I think... we don't need to take too deep of a dive into this. I think the big unknown in my mind is the balance between how much Sammy Watkins gets and how much action Rashad Bateman gets. I mean, we spent you know, a month leading into the draft talking about how the Ravens didn't necessarily need to take a first-round receiver because they added Watkins and they had some young, exciting players in Duvernay and Prochet. And, you know, Watkins, former number four overall pick, if he stays healthy, he could be a great receiver, all of that. So all of that still is true. Just because
a lot of that depends on how much Sammy's on the field.
Yep. So how much does he play? Does he stay healthy? So that's kind of the great unknown. But I think that your number in my mind is probably about right. And I would also agree. I think Hollywood leads the receivers in receiving yards.
Well, and let's also not forget about Mark Andrews. Like,
that's why I say he leads the receivers in receiving yards. I think Hollywood probably leads everyone with receiving yards, but Mark Andrews is going to get a large piece of the pie.
Yeah, Mark Andrews is going to be number two or number one.
Yep, yep, absolutely. So appreciate the email. One last point here from Riley. Says, I know you guys love your pumpkin beers. Have you ever tried an apricot beer?
Wow. I've had...
Okanagan Spring Brewery in Vernon, B.C. has a wicked one called Summer Weissen. If you ever make it up to Canada, I highly recommend.
I do want to go to British Columbia. Yep. I would like to spend some time there out in Vancouver. That'd be real nice. Maybe I'll have to check that out. I've had a lot of fruity beers. Like, you're getting into sour season now in the summer. You know, it's nice to have an occasional sour, mix it in. I don't know that I've had an apricot beer, though. That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I have. But thank you for the email, and thanks for the recommendation. As always, you guys can email us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. We love to hear from you, so keep those emails coming. And we've got another big guest coming up. We just got the interview with Ben Cleveland, but in our next episode, we're going to have Ravens general manager Eric DaCosta. So we're going to get a chance to talk with him about the draft, the upcoming season, and get the full breakdown from him on what he thinks of the draft. So that's coming up soon, so stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening.